Hi, welcome to Inside Out, The Naked Truth. It is February
24th, 2015.
Yeah. Yeah, wow.
I remember that one.
That's good.
The last 15 years, I remember that one.
24th, 2015. Anyway, we're here at Lupin Lodge broadcasting live. And just a reminder, at Lupin Lodge where we live, clothing is optional. But the truth, as we like to say, is always naked.
Well, he likes to say it more than I do, but I like to say it too.
Well, you came up with it.
I'm Rochelle Alicia Strider. I didn't say I didn't come up with it. I just said I don't like to say it.
I just want to give honor due where due is honored.
No, I do think it's a great saying. If I have to say so myself.
Anyway, so what do you have to say to these folks?
Well, we invited you over tonight, and we did invite you over.
Yep.
For some conversation, a few laughs, maybe more than a few, spiritual opinions, and as many surprises as possible. Since our only innocence can be truly surprised, please feel free to bring yours with you. And I've changed spiritual opinions to spiritual perceptions because opinions sounded too dull.
You know, know what another good word is? Conjectures. Spiritual conjectures, because it's all kind of conjecture, isn't it?
Yes, nobody knows.
Who knows?
We just all want to name something
I hope something's there that's going to be there and greet me when I get there, wherever there is. In the meantime, we are so grateful to be able to do this show because we have a sponsor. Go Raw, 100% raw food. Not only tastes good, but it's so good for you, and it's just great. Munchy kind of food. It's just like eating instant nutrition. Boop. And you can get it go raw at the Trader Joe's and Whole Foods and even at the organic section of Costco. It's down the aisle past that gal who wears the little white thing over her head who's giving away, what is she giving away?
No, that's where I eat lunch.
She's giving away
the
little
Costco giveaways.
Chicken little nugget thingies with yogurt. Anyway, or go to the goraw.com website. And here we are.
And our call-in number, if you have anything to say to us, or if you have nothing to say to us but just want to call us, is 888-627-6008. I have to tell you, something really fun happened to me in the last few days.
Really?
Well, yeah, I had, for a few days, I was having difficulty sleeping, falling asleep. I didn't have any difficulty sleeping once I fell asleep. It was getting to sleep. It felt really, I don't know, my head was spinning all around, and I would do all these exercises, and all I wanted to do was sleep, and I wasn't sleeping. And the other night, it started to happen again, that I wasn't able to fall asleep. And this time, I thought, why am I resisting it? I'm standing here going, oh, I want to fall asleep.
You actually weren't standing there.
That's right. I was lying down. And I wanted to go to sleep. And instead of moving into that arena where I was in resistance to the fact that I couldn't go to sleep, I embraced it. I just went, okay, I'm not going to be able to fall asleep. I'll just lie here and do whatever I want to do. And before I knew it, I was fast asleep.
And that was 3 days ago. She just got up, and it really was effective. And you want breakfast, honey? We got you some breakfast.
No, I really didn't sleep 3 days.
She was asleep for several
days. He's joking. I did not sleep 3 days. But what has happened in the last 2 days is I felt very centered. Very centered, very, and if that expression is not meaningful to you, it's like where you realize that you're just where you are and everything you can engage with, just about everything.
You're kind of balanced.
There's no resistance.
You're balanced like on a wire, and you could go in either direction or
fall down and kill yourself.
You could fall off.
I don't think that's a good metaphor.
Yes, sir. You could fall off, but we're not going to let you do that because part of our mission in doing this show is to provide some support for each other as we explore these areas of life that are...
That haven't been made commercial yet.
But we're working on it. We're working on it.
Inspirational holiday where you can buy inspirational things for all your loved ones.
You know, you reminded me of this poem I wrote, speaking of the wire. This is called The Tightrope Walker. See if you can guess who this is about. Okay, he hangs precariously, suspended over a pit, a quagmire of idle dreams and falsity. He peers out over a chasm stretching into the opposite of infinity. He is stillness and volcano. He walks delicately, painful step after painful step, charging each with substance. And below him, we all watch and gape, wondering how he got up there in the first place. He is determined and flexible. Polarities hold his arms out, allowing him to dance and be suspended 1 foot above time. He found the middle of the road, not the shallowness of mediocrity, but the exquisiteness of balance between all alternatives, harmonizing them into single substance, his life. Through the strength of his continuous choice, I will do your will. He is compassionate and just. Somewhere perfectly poised between the finite and the infinite, the tightrope walker sees the depth and circumference of the soul. He sees the patterns of perfection from his tentative yet firm vantage point, blend and infuse with the finite as it mugs and contracts, trying to appear perfect, while he smiles and remains calm, striding aside thunder. He is human, he is God. As he walks tightly, gently on both sides of a continuum that has circled in upon itself, chiseling out the ultimate in synthesis, he beckons to us atop his narrowing thread, offers a helping hand. We clumsily grab the wire, fighting off the dead weight of matter which tries to rivet us to the ground. But then we touch the tip of his fingers, feel his energy puckered there, offering his peace in the whirlwind, telling us that we too can perch safely in the tumult on that narrow plateau between our will and his.
I like it. I know who it is, though.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's Mary and Joseph's kid.
It's their kid. Yeah, it is their kid. Yeah, that's just one of the ways in which I like to ponder the gift in the life of Yeshua, otherwise known as Jesus, the homeowner.
The homeowner?
Yeah.
What?
I have no idea.
Where'd you come up with that one?
I have no idea. You know?
That's ridiculous.
No, it was ridiculous.
Can you erase it?
Well, you know what it was? It was the word. It was hanging out one of my synapses. Kind of think of like this little creature kind of hiding in the crevice, waiting for an opportunity to jump out where it could make sense. And then it decided, I'm not going to wait where I can make sense. I'm just going to pop.
But I got an inspiration from that. It's like he was at home without any home.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like I think in some way I'm learning that, you know, having left what I thought was my home or any home that contained all my things. Now I have a home and a storage space.
In the Rancho book, it said there was no place for him to lay his head.
Yeah.
And I can imagine he's standing around, he's looking around, looking at the grass, the rocks, and it's like, imagine yourself out in the woods or walking down the trail with a bunch of guys discussing the nature of reality and probably a lot of just pretty much pragmatic, mundane stuff too. What time we go on fishing, etc. And yet there was this presence of living. It's like being in the presence of pure awareness that has been able to incarnate.
And how have you experienced that?
Where do you have to unfortunately go to from afar. But
I've experienced that. The thing is that I'm aware that is the will. The will is to be there, to be in that space, to truly actualize that which he's purported to say, you know, what I've done, you too can do and more. I mean, you are me, I am you, you know. I am the Father, you're the Father. We're all, you know,
we are that.
We have this that seed within us. And I think the biggest failing of religion is that they create the separation between us and the divinity, which we are. And yet they speak the words of saying, well, he came to give you this and he came to give you that. But, you know, how long, if you're going to give somebody something, do you really want to wait all that time for them to unwrap the package?
I have to confess something.
What?
This is the time to get naked.
God, I get scared every time I
see
something. Well, only in public, not at
Luke.
And
Luke
is okay.
So when I look for songs, you know, and I look up words, like tonight I looked up the word breakthrough or renew, and what comes up are a lot of these mostly Christian songs where the you is stressed in the sense that, Father, we love you, God, we love you. You are the this and you are the that and you are the that. And
big separation.
And it I find that it while I acknowledge the you, I mean, there is the you-ness, but there's also the we-ness and the we-ness. And I really believe that this is where I'm getting naked here, that a lot of Christians that I have encountered are gifted in being able to find the Christ in Jesus, but don't seem to be as motivated, let alone effective at finding the Christ in ourselves.
Well, maybe it is just a matter of growing into that consciousness. You know, it's like there's still this sense that there's a separation between daddy and mommy and baby, you know, when you're growing up. And then there's a point when you realize that you and your parents you're the same as they are. They're just older than you are. More experiences, maybe. But there's that amazing awareness that you are them and you will become them as they are now later. And that, to me, is biological evolution, and I think it can be translated into spiritual evolution.
It can, and sometimes the wisdom shows up amongst siblings, which is what we really are, and we get this great advice from our sister.
Sister, I heard you went to Mr. So-and-so. Knock, knock, knocking on his door again last night. Said you needed it bad. You know that ain't right. Cause so many times you've come to me crying. Trying to stop you, said it hurts so bad. But please don't let you go back for more. My little sister is a zombie in a body with no soul or role. She has learned to play. Souls, not our addictions or afflictions of pain to avoid the same questions we must ask ourselves to get any answers. We gotta start feeding our souls, have been lost to the millions with lots who feed on addiction, selling pills and what's hard. And I wish I could save her from all their delusions, all the confusion, of a nation that starves for salvation, but clothing is the closest approximation to God, and he only knows that drugs are all we know of love. Clean, clean, clean. handshake or hug. We spill the pills and sweep them under the rug. My little sister is a zombie in a body with no soul or role. She has learned to play in a world today where nothing else matters, but it matters. Gotta start feeding our soul. Mr. So-and-so, knock, knock, knocking on his door again last night, said you needed more.
And that was, that's a provocative song, isn't it? Mm-hmm. We gotta start feeding our souls. That was Jewel.
That was Jewel?
Yeah, Jewel. Uh-huh. And.
Oh, good, neat, interesting. I do. I see it too. Like once again, evolution. When we're ready to step out and bear our souls, we do. Just like, I mean, we are expecting a grandchild, and due date has come, and a due date has gone, and now it's any moment. And yet, I feel like the baby's going, I'm sorry, but I'm not ready. You may be, but I'm not. And I'll get there when I feel like it and no sooner.
You know.
And I think of that in everything we do, you know, when we're ready to do it. If we have that intention, we have that DNA to become a human being, to be born, to grow, to evolve, we will do it. You know, there's not much you have to do except deny that that's what you're doing.
That's why this lyric that she says, with no soul in a role, she has learned to play in a world today where nothing else matters, but it matters. We got to start feeding our souls, not right. our addictions or afflictions of pain. To avoid what? The same questions we must ask ourselves to get any answers. We got to start feeding our souls. And that's a lot of what I believe this program is about. It is feeding our souls. And
you start with raw food and then you work your way up.
Well, I was just thinking about what soul food actually is. And I feel that there are a variety of soul foods. One of them is meaning. I believe meaning is actually food for the soul. That when the soul gets a helping of meaning, a whopping helping of meaning, like...
What do you mean by meaning?
Oh, boy. What do I mean by meaning? Okay. That's a great question. You know, philosophers have been pondered that for years. Let me see if I can distill it down to a couple words.
Because you can do that.
Meaning is the understanding we arrive at as a result of our interactions with life that allows us to have more choices and to see more ways of interconnecting with all sorts of different reality, the result of which is we experience ourselves literally being of more value. The value of who we are actually expands.
Okay, so I think that there could be a lot of different ways to, because some people, you know, get meaning out of what they do.
Well,
some people get meaning out of what they think. Okay. Some people get, but when you use the word like value, and then once again, that can be subjective. I'm being devil's advocate.
But you look good in devil's advocate. But I think it's tied into purpose. I think recognition of purpose is another significant aspect right. of meaning, that it's not for naught, as they say, that all your efforts in this life, that it has some level of purpose. And as soon as you imply purpose, then you have to look at purpose. What is the purpose? Purpose implies that it's moving somewhere. It has some kind of direction, some trajectory
right.
that is somehow going to satisfy that urge of my soul for...
And once again, I say, you know, there are people who have extraordinarily finite purposes.
I understand.
They have a purpose to build a bridge over a waterfall or something else. you know, this is that person's purpose and they achieve it and they go on. I do think it's once again to go back to evolution and to realize how the mind evolves, that we have a reptilian brain and then we move up to this higher brain. And I think as you move to the higher brain, your purpose changes. And so your purpose then becomes to enter into the moreness of infinity.
Hi, this is Jack Sylvester from the Bronx, and I was thinking about purpose a lot these days because you know I'm attracted to the purpose. The purpose is a very sleek kind of thing. The purpose is very playful. The purpose is can be very cute and very satisfying. And that's why a bunch of my friends and I went to go swimming with the porpoises in down in off a little tributary of near Cuba. And
okay, Jack, I'm so happy you called in. I thank you very much. What's it like right now? It's supposed to be really cold in the Bronx, huh?
It is cold in the Bronx, which is why we like going with the porpoises in Cuba, where it's warmer.
How do you get over there? Do you get a visa? Are you able to get a visa? I'm told it's still closed to Americans.
Not if you've got a really, really good porpoise and a good purpose in mind and a good purpose waiting for you when you get there. And thank you.
Thank you for calling, Jack. We really appreciate
it. Thanks, Jack.
That was
good.
Fun.
Yeah, okay. All right. So let me ask you out there, and also those of you who are here in our house, what is your sense of purpose? And do you think about it? And do you have a sense of purpose? Does it matter that we have purpose? There's just so many facets to it. And I think it's significant to have a sense of purpose. We usually think of not purpose as meaningless. You see, there is that word again, meaning. So you have meaning more and you have meaning less. And it is something that we do recognize it when we feel it. I think most anyone would recognize an experience where you could say that was meaningful. Something happened. I would suspect that any human being has had.
Yeah. Those are the awesome moments that we experience. And if we're allowed to partake of them, yeah, it's a meaningful experience.
I remember your dad on the top of Colorado Mountains.
Right, Rockies.
Rocky Mountain National Park.
At the Divide.
Right at the Divide, looking out over what happened. Looking out over the...
I can't remember what he said.
What I remember was he was impacted by his insignificance.
He said, I feel so small.
Yeah.
That's what he said. I feel so small.
Yeah.
But he didn't say it like, I didn't feel like he was putting himself down. I think he was exalting in the bigness of everything that made him feel small.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the way I saw his face. His face was like, not one of like, oh, I'm so small and that's so big. But it's like, there's so much more than me.
Yeah. I think it's scary for many of us to explore out beyond the box of the contrived reality that is ourself and that which we're aware of. Because it's like, oh, but it may not be anything there.
Well, we create a world out of our experiences and then our stories and everything else, and we totally resonate with that world and make it us. It's like it's not our stories and our experiences, but that's who I am. I am all these stories and experiences. And when that happens, it's really hard to move much further and let go of your stories and experiences, which is what we have to do in expanding our consciousness. We have to let go of the lesser to achieve the more. And that's something that we don't understand. But the minute you embrace the more.
She's pointing with her index finger at me.
Listen, this is exciting.
Okay.
Once you embrace the more, the lesser just is incorporated in it. It doesn't disappear. It just is incorporated. And that's what we don't know. So we think we have something to lose when we embrace the more. But we don't lose anything. Nothing is lost at all.
Nothing is lost. And that's why we should celebrate and dance and rejoice. And this is one way to do it.
Havanagila, Havanagila, Havanagila v'nismachar. Havanagila, Havanagila, Havanagila v'nismachar. Havanaranena, Havanaranena, Havanaranena v'nismachar. Havanaranena, Havanaranena, Havanaranena v'nismachar. Uru, uru achim, uru achim v'lev sameach, uru achim v'lev sameach, uru achim v'lev sameach, uru achim v'lev sameach, uru achim, uru achim. Belev sameach. Havanagila, Havanagila, Havanagila v'nismacha. Havanagila, Havanagila, Havanagila v'nismacha. Havanaranena, Havanaranena, Havanaranena v'nismacha. Havanaranena, Havanaranena, Havanaranena v'nismacha. Uru, uru achim, uru achim v'lev sameach, uru achim v'lev sameach, uru achim. Belev sameach, Havanagila, Havanagila, Havanagila v'nismacha. Havanagila, Havanagila, Havanagila v'nismacha. Havanaranena, Havanaranena.
Harry Belafonte, you know, he was just awarded a Governor's Award, the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences, for being not only a brilliant talent, but for doing so much to promote peace in the world. And here is this beautiful man singing the Hebrew, isn't it the Hebrew National Anthem or something?
No.
No.
I'll tell you what it actually says, though. And that's why it's so perfect. Come, let's dance. Come, let's dance.
Oh,
dance
right.
And be merry. Havani. Dance and be right. Merry and come, let's whirl. Come, let's whirl. Whirl and be merry. Let's whirl and whirl and be merry. Havani. Rise, brothers. This is where they go to the
Oh, Ouvra. I can't believe I said that was the national anthem.
It's close. Rise, brothers, close with the glad heart. Rise, brothers, with the glad heart. Isn't that wonderful? I mean,
yes,
what a wonderful way to it. To call each other to that glad-heartedness. But I am reminded when I danced in Miami, Florida at the Yiddish American Vaudeville Theater, South Miami.
Yes. God, Errol.
Yes.
That's an
yes.
experience that you won't ever
yeah,
forget.
Yeah, not many people get to say that.
That's meaningful.
It's very meaningful. It was meaningful in many ways. And it was this big theater, and there were a lot of old Jewish people in the audience, and they did Yiddish comedy, and they showed Yiddish movies, and they had acts. It was vaudeville. And I was one of the acts. I was a group of four dancers. We did this kind of athletic kind of ballet, you know, jumping and spinning and all that kind of Russian dancing. And they, at one point, she asked me, every act, by the way, has to do Havanagila. Every act. It's like it's non-negotiable. You're there, you're doing Havanagila. Okay, that's just what we do. And so they asked me to sing it. these, and they were called the Schechters, I think, this older couple who were the comedians, the actors who owned the theater. And I sang it, and I could see them looking at me, and I could see them make that decision. You know, I think we'll sing it. And it was clear that, you know, I wasn't what they were looking for. But then I didn't remind them, but I could have reminded them I was hired as a dancer, not as a singer. So that was my Hava Nagila story.
I have to tell you a story about Harry Belafonte. I think I've told it to you, but I'm going to tell it to you again because it makes me happy. I was in going to visit my managers when I was in the theater in New York. I had managers. And I got into the elevator of the building in which they had their office, and a man got in the elevator with me, and it was Harry Belafonte. And because I didn't swoon or die or anything like that.
No, you should have.
But I was close. I was very close. He was 3 inches from me or a foot from me, I don't know. He was really close. It was a very small elevator. And I managed to croak out how much I have enjoyed him over the years, that he's just brought such pleasure to my life with his talent. And he said, "Oh, you must be an actress." And I said, and I stopped, and he said, "Because you have a beautiful voice." And I thought I would die right there and then. And he got off before me, so I had at least 2 floors to digest what just happened before I walked into my manager's office. And I relayed the story, and I was still blubbering like a 13-year-old. I was so... And I have to say, he was taller and more handsome in person than he even was in the movies and on television and in concert. So that was pretty exciting.
Those are moments that we are grateful for.
That was a meaningful moment. That was a meaningful moment.
So what I get out of that is that who he was, the celebrity that he was, as well as, and more important, the value that he was, mm-hmm. Really impacted you and seemed to add value. What is it about celebrity? And this was certainly a person who earned his celebrity in all the ways one might expect it, not only being a
right.
great talent.
But wasn't getting into the subway with Kim Kardashian, I mean the elevator.
Or Paris, what's her name?
Hilton.
Yeah.
It was like, okay, that's nice. But I bet people would react exactly the same way. Because the whole idea of a celebrity is that they're more than you are. That the implied thing, you know. But if you could one day be one of them, but at the same time, at this point in time, they're up there and you're not. They're on a pedestal. They're in rarefied air. They get all the girls, boys, you know, beautiful gowns, you know, all the accoutrements that make that one drools over if they are a capitalistic son and daughter.
I have to say that sometimes when my ego gets a hold of me, and, you know, the ego uses comparison a lot. That's one of its favorite devices. So if you're ever comparing yourself or it this or that, different than discrimination. It's like, this is good, she's not so bad, it was not so hot, it should have been better, it could have been worse, it was like this, if you're not seeing me here, I'll be there.
Oh, you're not doing that.
A tribute to Jackie Mason. Thank you, Jackie Mason. But comparison, and when I look at the stars, and like somehow we started getting Hollywood Reporter, the magazine.
Yeah, I never ordered it, but we get it.
We get it, and the photographs of these famous celebrities and actors and actresses, you know, because the studios are trying to sell them through this magazine. That seems to be, that's a big purpose of the magazine. They're gorgeous. They're fabulous. They're so enticing. And I can feel that part of me wants to go, I want to be. And then I remember, wait a minute. In order to get there, you're not seeing, they had to get up at like 4 a.m. to be in a makeup chair at 5 a.m. And they had to sit through X number of takes all day long and get up and get down. I'm talking about making a movie kind of celebrity. Mm-hmm. And then they go back and do you want to do that kind of hard work? And then what do you get? So that someone, i.e. the photographer and the public and the leering public, looks at this person and says they are larger than life and I'm not that. Or they allow me to vicariously be that, and so that's why I need to have them be those bigger than life aspects of being, because I'll never let myself have or be that. So they will do it for me. So they're like substitutes for my...
But, and unlike kings and queens, there's no right of succession. I mean, their children can't become them unless they work just, you know, make it. But, I mean, the thing is, like, a lot of it has to do with good old-fashioned luck. And then, of course, you work your butts off.
And
but
talent.
You, nobody votes for you.
Right.
And you don't be born a movie star. You know, like you're born a king or a queen.
Speaking of
but
king
But we still have a need for that kind of...
God.
Aristocracy.
Well, I think it's a form of God. I think it's kind of a substitute, downgraded God. In fact, these kings were considered divine.
Yes, they were.
Not just the kings of, like, you know, in Europe and places like that, but other cultures too. I remember I did a play about Atahualpa, the Inca king, and he was the sun god. I mean, they were God. Mm-hmm. And I think it's part of our need to touch God in a concrete way, so we make these beings into our gods, and we worship them, really, if you think about
right.
it.
Because we don't know how to have a God that you can't define. We're constantly trying to define that which we call God, which to me is a mystery and is so much bigger than my finite mind can even understand at the act of creation itself, what it all means. If there's any meaning to the universe, it's so much more than my finite mind can embrace.
I want to share this poem because it relates to that, and it's called Forgotten, and then I'm going to go right from there into this song because I think they relate. Because I feel like, to some extent, we have forgotten who we are. I remember reading how, you know, we are love and love looking for experience, and then, but we forgot that we are love. That's what Yeshua says in his book, in his teachings. And I wrote this poem though, a long time ago. It's called Forgotten. I have forgotten who I am, the depths of what I've been, and what I am to become. I flounder in quicksand full of stale Rice Krispies and shredded Twinkies wrappers, a child too plastic for compost. I have forgotten where I came from, where I am to go, and the way to get there. I linger in dead patches collecting fungus or fungi, just my annoyances turning in on themselves and multiplying. I have forgotten when I was, how long I am to be, and the now of time. I stroll along barbed wire paths with dead, discarded chimneys to step over. No warmth anymore. Not since I extinguished the fire I knew as home. I've forgotten how I got here, how to get back to here, and how to recognize the here beyond the there in which I die. I live inside barnacles, clasping me to the underside of life, knowing neither the fluid freedom of the splashing forgotten me or the massive sleek bulwark me cutting through rough, friendly reality, leaving me awake as I go.
My name. to the friendless. Oh, for the hopeless, he knows my name.
Forgotten by Israel and Company.
See, I, you know, like when I hear songs like that, and in light of what we were talking about,
yeah,
before,
I want to talk about that.
The separation, mm-hmm. You know, I feel like there is a point in our development where we really need someone or something to affirm us, to let us know we're there, because we haven't reached a point where we know we're there. So we need that.
We really need it.
And there's a point where we don't need it anymore, because we know. And we obviously haven't gotten to that place, but still, that's
where
we're going.
Well, some have, some haven't. What I get about that, just to kind of translate it into a frame of reference that speaks to me, God knows my name. So when we think about our dear friend Moses going up to the mountain and saying, God, who are you? You know, or what are you? And God was very clear, and he went, this is the part that people don't know, he went, I am that I am. But the second part of that I am, the burning flame pointed a finger at Moses, and because it said, I am that I am. And it was like, if you saw me right now, I'm pointing a finger at Rochelle, she's that I am. So that's how God knows my name, because I am the same name. So it's easy for God to remember, and that's why he gave everybody the same name, which is love, because then he wouldn't have to remember lots of different names.
That's lovely. That's such a lovely, perception. That's a lovely perception. I think it's a lovely way of looking at it. It's very dear.
And there is no separation. I am that I am. I mean, it's like, where is there a duality in that? I don't hear duality in
that. No, I don't either. Plus, nor do I hear definition. See, like, even in the pointing back at you, the truth is I am that I am. If I am that I am and you are that you are, there really is no, not only no separation, but there's no definition. Love has no definition. And I don't think we're at the point in our growth where that is comfortable. We need to be defined. We need it, and we do it in as many ways as possible. And some of them are destructive. Some of the ways that we need to be defined are destructive, because we want to make big sounds. You know, we want to go boom, boom with bombs and planes and all that stuff. But anyway.
But for me, it's such a joy. I have to tell you, the most thrilling spiritual discovery I've made in the past 10 years.
Really?
Yeah.
Thrilling.
Huh? Thrilling. Yeah,
okay.
Thrilling. And what makes it so thrilling was that I realized that the I am that I think myself to be, you all think of your sense of yourself, that you're I am, you know, I am whatever, whoever you think you are. And there you are. You have this strong sense that you're this I am over here, and you're not that version of it over there. It's your I am. The discovery was is that the infinite I am I am that has this perception and this point of view is the same I am that is that answers the question, I am that I am. And so when I meditate now, I just return to that sense of shared knowing of the shared self, which is the I am. And boy, I tell you, it gets me so excited. I feel practically like a saint.
When the saints
go marching in,
go marching in.
When the saints go marching in,
oh, yeah.
I wanna be,
oh, yeah,
in that number.
Oh,
when the saints
go marching in.
Go marching in.
Who's gonna play on the day when the saints go marching in?
Well, explain that. Now the mostest and the greatest,
from the oldest to the latest,
gonna play in the band, in the great grandstand,
when the saints go marching in.
Louis, what about Brahms?
He laid the bomb.
And Chopin?
Solid man. And Bop, that great old massa.
Yeah, that great old massa was a gasser.
Yes, but Mozart the most with all he had.
With the symphonies and operas and all that jazz.
Do you dig Rachmaninoff?
On and off.
Rimsky?
Of course, of course. Ravel and Gustav Mahler.
Yeah, but don't forget Fats Waller.
Do that. List that twist that you can't resist.
Yeah, yeah, but list on that list.
And George Bizet.
Tre Bizet.
Utah Soupe Machinet.
And often Bob.
Do you dig him, John?
Very often.
Well,
That wasn't a trip. Are y'all listening? Did you hear that?
That was Louis Armstrong and Danny Kaye
going for it. And the lyrics are so clever. And it's interesting that they were singing about and all these great composers, because I'm devoted to these composers. And we just got a book that has a short life bio of many composers, and I've been reading it, and I've reading about Mahler, and now I'm reading about Mendelssohn, and I read about Rossini and all these guys. And I was thinking that music, it's in some ways it's the closest thing to something that lasts and maintains its value of anything in our experience. Music. I mean, here you have music from the 1600s, 1800s, 1700s, and it still stirs us and brings us into the now and gives us such a reason for...
You have to ride music. You have to get on that first note and just go with it. You can't stop it at any point and examine it. can you do a painting or, no. Or a poem.
Right, right. Just a minute. Can you hold that note?
You have to go with it. And in going with it, something in us gives, is not in resistance. It's just going with it and allowing it to take you wherever it takes you. And just
I think that's the invitation by life, by the universe, to just ride it, to be open to it, flow with it. Go recognize the patterns and just, it's like a bird flying on the wind. We
saw it just the other day, didn't we?
Yeah, we were so amazed to watch this pelican. We went down to the Santa Cruz beach, and what we first thought were more surface was actually a pelican.
No, we did not.
But it was like, it seemed like it was less than a foot above the ocean flying. But it wasn't flapping its wings. It was just riding
the current.
Riding the current. And I was so impressed with that, and I wanted to learn how to do that.
And unfortunately, there wasn't a class for that. There was a class for surfing, but they didn't have riding the currents above the waves like a pelican.
Well, they should. What's with that? That's the kind of thing we long for here at Lupin Lodge on the show Inside Out. Where we're looking for the naked truth. And tonight we were talking about this soul phenomenon and this thing that's part of purpose and it has meaning. And we were talking about soul food. And certainly love is like the entree in any form that it comes in terms of feeding the soul. Acknowledgement. Understanding. When someone understands you, that's soul food. That definitely, doesn't it?
Oh, God.
When you feel understood.
Yeah. Seen, heard, and appreciated.
Yeah, as opposed to being blamed. Blame is not as good as soul food as some people would want to think it is.
Though sometimes it can be the manure that creates a very healthy soil for the soul to grow.
That's such a good way of looking at it, because you got to have the manure, you got to have the muck, as you say, out of which this life emerges. And that's the best thing to do with the toxic, disturbed, I want to say sinful, but in the way I describe sin, I have an acronym for sin, which is seduced into nonsense, which is the nonsense of the separation. Let me just share one real quickie poem. Well, I got you.
You're also
your
going through his poems.
I am, but...
And so it's like falling in love with them all over again.
Well, you all be the... I started to say be the judge. Don't be the judge,
it's
please.
It's not about being a judge or not a judge. You're in love with them.
Yeah, I am. Well, this is when I did to the separation, the very whole notion of it. We skirt around each other, using up energy to stay apart. Wider and wider orbits, afraid to descend into the middle of connectedness, of gravity. The concentric pull, for fear we will lose the particles we call ourselves. But the single proton of hydrogen isn't lost when it merges with another to form helium. It just isn't called hydrogen anymore. Respire et marche vers l'avant, bâtisse un nouveau. I Still Believe, sung by Laura Fabian. She sings, by talking about nothing, nothing moves. Stop living, scream, isolated and defeated, probably alienated, not even a beat. I'd like to be back. I do not recognize people, only at the bottom of my hate, the sentence is my last lover. I would have to get up, breathe and walk forward, building buried, strike again for my quicksand, and remember that that does not really exist, become the rubble and the beast defeated by the child. I still believe we are living as we are strong. One has faith until you fall asleep. Rabies, stomach, I still believe. A forever, until death, the silence was wrong. I still believe.
Some good in French.
Doesn't it? It does. Doesn't it? It almost makes you want to eat it or order a bottle of wine. Oh, we got to close. We're like running over. We're having such a good time. This is Errol Strider and my spouse.
And this is Rochelle Alicia Strider.
And this is Inside Out, The Naked Truth. And what can I tell you? We're here. What do you have to remind me of? I forgot.
Remember that resistance is what you add to pain to make it last longer and hurt